Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to the Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we're going to be talking about writing papers and presenting at conferences, being in mostly the pipeline industry, industrial industry. This is something we talk about all the time. Yep. You preach on this very often. Mm-hmm. So something I found interesting that I just Googled how many conferences are in the United States per year.
Yeah.
And it's 1.8 million.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is amazing. That's a lot per day.
Yes.
If you think about it.
Even crazier is 1.3 of them are corporate or business related meetings. So there's plenty of opportunities to present, network, make yourself a subject matter expert, network, all of that stuff. So 270,000 of them are conventions, conferences. So those are probably more of the ones that you would actually be presenting at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But still lots of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you learned about this topic through your work experience, Chris?
Yeah, so I like to talk. So I kind of came out into the world doing that. So to me, conference was a place to go meet people and opportunity to speak. But and I had it modeled pretty well. I mean, some of my mentors early on, they go to conferences and I'd see them present papers. And so I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. And so what happened was, as I started doing it, I really liked it. And so typically, in early in my career, I mean, I'd go to a couple of conferences and I'd present, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 papers at each conference. And so
Over
a period of time, you kind of build confidence and you kind of build a following. I mean, people are like, well, hey, so-and-so is going to be at this conference and they're going to be talking about things. I think the other thing was I was always looking for things to talk about. So throughout the year, I think, well, I've got IPC coming up next September. So would this project be a good paper and a good presentation? So just kind of became part of my DNA. And, you know, for almost 30 years, I've been doing it.
Well, even as a child, you like went and did Bible drills and Bible things. So you are just trained from the very beginning.
Yeah, I could find any book in the Bible in less than like 6 seconds. So anyway, that's really useful as a pipeline consultant.
It's like the Bible Olympics.
Or it was like a state competition. We travel around the state. It's like some kind of freak show. But anyway,
tell me the Old Testament books.
I literally picture like these like little Christian kids like in like a carnival setting.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything but the circus and the clowns.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Well, I got you distracted. That's awesome.
So, Buddy, I know you have a lot to say on this too because you attend a lot of conferences.
I do. I think just working backwards from Chris, you know, I've seen folks go from, you know, education, taking their papers and the work that they've done to, you know, the giving back to the industry, showing them their work, building some credibility to what sort of where Chris is trying to drive our team and where he's gotten to as a thought leader, meaning that he can go out, talk about concepts, programs that not only the specific work, but how does it apply to your business? How does it make you safer, have more reliable operations of your pipeline? You know, early on in my career, it's funny, I was considered one of the subject matter experts and I gave papers, but then as I got around more of the community that really is driving the papers and at the conferences, I felt like they really missed the opportunity sometimes to talk about how this impacted, kind of complete the story. I think we get into the data, the analysis, the testing, all of those things are really good. And I think I'm seeing a shift more to that from you know different conferences and then opening up. But you know I feel like it's extremely important for someone to build their career, especially in the consulting world, to be able to give a paper, but also to have that relationship and that connection with the client, right? So the project and the program doesn't just stop after you have completed it. You actually are doing some other things that you work with the client on. And a lot of times there's another project behind that.
Yeah. From a marketing perspective, it's so nice when clients go to conferences, have papers, have case studies, because it gives us so much content, and it really establishes them as a thought leader or subject matter expert. So it just makes the marketing of their either technology or service a lot easier. So I really, when a client says they have a case study, we like do like a little happy dance at the desk. We get real excited about it. So y'all touched on this a little bit, but how does your specific like current now role play into this? So Buddy is sales, Chris is a president, and me into marketing. Buddy, how does sales and networking really play into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, my job a lot of times is to be in communication with the client when we're not doing work with them. So when we're doing work, the engineer is usually engaged, the team is usually engaged with the client, but then they have to go off and do other projects, right? So my job is to kind of elevate that conversation, make sure we're front of mind. One way is these conferences and papers and to be able to have some communication and contact with them.
Yeah. Do you have any crazy conference story that you could tell quickly that you can tell without incriminating anyone?
Well, you know, I think one time I got asked to give a paper because they were getting, they had to leave early. They didn't tell me why, but it wasn't Chris, but it was someone else that, you know, and so you're kind of brushing up on the presentation, the PowerPoint. It all went well, but you can definitely lower expectations. I don't recommend that because people are coming to those papers looking to have someone that's really knowledgeable and can answer the Q&A and do all the things that they're...
Well, as a salesperson, you're kind of used to getting thrown into those situations and having to think on your feet.
I know enough to be dangerous, and let's keep it at that. You know?
I did that same thing to Dead Cats.
Oh, did you?
See, it was like Friday, so my plane left at like 1 o'clock. And they had me scheduled to give like a 10 o'clock presentation. And I was like, I got to go. Dave's like, I'll do it. So I was like, hey, Dave, here's presentation. Good luck. So anyway, I'm sure he did great.
Yeah. It all works out.
It wasn't my problem. I was getting on an airplane.
You did all the hard work, right? He just gets to go up there. That's it.
Why don't you talk about conferences from a president's point of view? Because I think there's like two sides to conferences in your position.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. You know, one of my jobs is, and you can relate to this, Kara, is that you're developing talent. Right. Mm-hmm. So as president, you know, you kind of set the vision and you got a staff. And so your goal is like, hey, we need to build this up. So early in my career, I was mentored, and so I went to conferences as the young engineer who's presenting things. Now, you know, I co-author a lot of papers, but I don't write any more papers, and I don't do as many presentations, and I'm okay with that. So kind of what shifted, though, is that I'm an encourager for our younger staff to present. I need to be willing to write the check to go to conferences. You know, so as a company, we're not huge, but, you know, we'll spend, you know, anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 going to a conference. As president, I have to be willing to make that kind of investment, right? And so, you know, what I've learned is, like, you just spend the money, and if you get a good staff, eventually that work comes back, and it's a good investment. So I think my role has really shifted, and I like it, you know, but if I hadn't done it early in my career and I hadn't seen the benefits, then it'd be hard for me to exhort and encourage our younger staff to do that.
Yes, I think it's very hard as a business owner sometimes to write that check, especially when you're a very small business. Once you're a little more established, I do think it's worth it. There are definitely conferences out there that are a little more affordable. And then you have the ones like...
What's the
big one?
Offshore Technology Conference.
That one. I can't believe I forgot
expensive.
That.
Yeah. OTC.
It is crazy.
Yeah, it's expensive.
So, but from marketing standpoint, I love conferences. They are a great way to go and network. Mm-hmm. And you literally can see everyone that needs marketing help by just walking around.
You're like fish in a barrel, right?
Yes. It's kind of hard not to insult people. Like, hi, I'm with a marketing company. Here's my card. Yeah. Please call me.
Who just on your booth? Oh, you did. Wow.
Did you do it in PowerPoint? I can tell.
Yeah. What's PowerPoint?
All right. Let's go over our key takeaways from this. Or no, I'm sorry. I'm skipping one. What's one practical step when it comes to a conference that people can go to? I'll start on this one. As someone who's just recently attended conferences in the last couple of years, I think the first practical step is just pick one to go to. I would pick a little bit smaller one. If they're not quite as overwhelming, you'll still get to meet a lot of people and you'll be comfortable there.
Right.
And then it makes it easier to go to the next one and the next one. And while you're there, people will even be like, are you going to be at this conference? Are you going to be at that conference? Yeah. So I think that's the most practical step is just do a little research and pick one.
Yeah.
What do you think, buddy?
From my perspective, it's really about the activity around the conference and the level of engagement. So like this year at one particular conference, we spent a lot of time doing prep work, setting up dinners, lunches, being active in meetings. So you get the attendee list before the conference, and then you kind of start to reach out and contact people coming in from out of state. You kind of start there and then you hit your local people from that.
Yes, that's very important, the planning aspect before. I'm going to one in a couple weeks, and I printed out all the exhibitors, and I started looking at their online presence, their websites, all that stuff to see who would even be a key like target for me. So planning ahead makes it more efficient when you're there.
So I got one. Miss Producer is going to shoot me because I'm going to get up off screen. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
So my advice is to journal. And so I'm a big journal.
Gosh, that is fancy.
Mega journal. So I've even got it tabbed. So one of my takeaway would be if you're going to go to conferences, you've always got to have ideas of topics, right? So I've got like, I've even got book ideas in here, you know, speech notes and business ideas and concepts. And so the challenge is if you've got a conference that's every year, and let's say it's in February and you decided December was like, hey, I'm going to present something. It's too late.
Yeah.
So you always throughout the year need to be thinking about what things you want to do. So I've got a list. I've probably got like 25 or 30 papers. I can't present all those in a year, but there may be something 3 or 4 years down the road. Someone says, hey, could you do a presentation at this conference? It's like, well, if you've written it down, you go to your journal. It just makes it easy. You don't even have to think about it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and we could probably have a whole podcast on journaling and setting goals and all those things. So anyway, my mother was a journaler, and I've got, you know, you've given me a journal that I use. And it's just a great way to capture ideas so that when you need them, they're readily available.
Yes, it is. I like that point. So the key thing that I've learned from this today is we've all touched on it in a different way, is being prepared. Mm-hmm. Like going to a conference isn't about just showing up that day. It is preparing in advance, whether it's setting up a booth, researching who's going to be there, hopefully both of those, and just really preparing for that conference so that way you can make the most out of the time, because you are taking time out of work to be there, out of your office to be there. So make sure it's worthwhile and you have some business that you close at that conference.
Yep. For sure.
Good. What do you think, Chris?
I think that's good. So one kind of last thing I wrote was, and I think we've all done this, and Buddy's really done this because he's gone to a lot of conferences, is go and be consistent, right? So the first year you go to conference, it's a little awkward. You don't know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like I went to PPM, you know, it's kind of first time you're getting to know people. But what I find is after 3, 4, 5 years, you walk into a room and you know people and people know you, and it's a lot of fun. So my encouragement is if you're going to a conference for the first time, go back a second or a third time. Now, if it's a conference that stinks and nobody's there, don't go back, right? That's a waste of money. But I think the key to being successful in these conferences is just to be consistent and build relationships.
Yeah, I agree. I
love it. So, yeah, I had another funny story that, you know, when you go to these conferences, usually the last day it kind of dies down. So it's kind of the hooligans, the sales guys that are out there in the booth.
The only ones left.
Yeah. And so, you know, the conference committees are usually pretty restrictive on how quickly you can break down your booth, right? Mm-hmm. So when the time, whatever is allotted, there's always people kind of prepping the booth to break it down the fastest, and it's a competition on your aisle as who can get their booth broke down and put in the boxes and out the door. But it's funny, when I first started doing conferences, all the people that are working the booths knew each other, and it was like, we'll see you in Seattle, we'll see you in Anaheim. And, you know, it was kind of like, I've been everywhere, man, sort of moment where you're on life on the road, hitting the conferences, you know, the NACEs and different conferences that we had to attend at that time.
Yep. There's a lot. Life of a traveling salesperson.
1.8 million, right?
Yeah.
And opportunities.
That's crazy.
That is. I don't know that I believe that. We'll see. I mean, Google.
Fact checker.
It's on the internet. It's got to be right.
All right. So our next episode, we are going to be What are we talking about
books.
Next time? Books. Yes. Reading business books.
Yes.
So that is very exciting.
I have a feeling we'll be in Chris's library.
Yeah. I have a feeling Chris is going to... Do you want to host that one?
No, it's more fun with you hosting. Okay. I like you asking questions.
Okay. Well, we will see y'all then.
Thanks. Bye-bye.